This week's Parsha is Parsha's Kiseitze, and we'll start in the beginning of the Parsha, where the Parsha describes the idea of Yefas Tohar, and the Torah explains that if you go into a war, and Rashi explains a voluntary war, meaning a war of expansion, and you'll find a beautiful woman, and you will desire, and you'll want to take her as a wife, then the Torah prescribes that you bring her into your house, that she shaves her head, and she makes her nails, she removes her captive clothing from herself, and then she cries her father and mother for a month. And afterwards, if you desire, you may marry her. And Rashi writes down that the idea of a captive woman is Ledibra Torah Elu Keneged Yetzer Hara. The Torah is only speaking against the evil inclination. Normally meant that Hashem knows that in the battle, your animalistic instincts are aroused, and therefore you will desire this woman. And because of that, Hashem says that you could marry this woman, because if Hashem says that you cannot marry her, then you will marry her anyways. Therefore, Hashem tells you that if you follow this procedure, eventually you could marry her. But Rashi continues from the Sifri and says that even though Hashem allowed you to marry her, you should know that the next two sections that come up applies to this woman, which means that eventually you are going to have a woman that is hated, because in verse number 15 it's written, when a person will have two wives, one loved one and one hated one, and the firstborn will be for the hated one. And here we are discussing a woman like that the firstborn will be to the hated one because she was the captive woman. And after that, you should know that she is going to have a child, and the child is going to be a rebellious child, which is written in verse number 18, that when a person will have a rebellious child, then he should take him in front of the court, and they should stone him to death. So Rashi says that even though the Torah allowed you to marry this woman, nonetheless, the Torah is predicting to you the consequences that is going to happen when you marry this woman. Therefore, all these sections are connected. As a matter of fact, these are also the words of the Medrash Rabbe, Parsha Vav, Simen Dalet, where the Medrash brings down the name of Ben Azai, mitzvah goreres mitzvah, that one mitzvah brings another mitzvah, v'avere goreres avere, and a sin brings another sin. Keitzad, what do you mean? It's written first, kisetze la milchoma, if you go out to war and you find a captive woman, Hashem says, even though I allowed you to do it, I told you the procedures that you have to do in order to marry her, that she has to cut her hair and make her nails in order that you shouldn't like her, and you should send her away. But even after all this, you still decide to keep her and marry her, I will tell you what is going to happen, that eventually you'll have a rebellious child, and eventually this rebellious child is going to be guilty of death, and eventually you are going to have to hang him by a tree. So the Torah is telling you that one sin brings another sin. And then the Medrash continues and says, how do I know that mitzvah goreres mitzvah? Because in chapter 22, verse number 6, it's written, if you find a nest and a mother is hovering over it, you require to send a mother bird away. Then if you send the mother bird away, then you'll marry to have, what's written in verse number 8, that you'll build a new house, and then you'll make a parapet to your roof, so people shouldn't fall down. If you do that, then you'll marry what's going to be in verse number 9, that you'll be able to have a field, a vineyard, and then you won't be planted with different species. And if you're married to do that, then you're married to have oxen and donkeys, and you won't plow with ox and donkey together. And if you do that, then you're married to have clothing. So we see, according to this, that mitzvah goreres mitzvah, that if you do one mitzvah, Hashem makes it that you should be able to perform another mitzvah. So Ben Azai says, from these verses we see that avera goreres avera, that a sin brings another sin, and a mitzvah goreres mitzvah, and a mitzvah brings another mitzvah. The only problem we have with this explanation of Ben Azai is that since Hashem said that after you follow this procedure, you could marry her, even though Hashem may not like it that you marry it, nonetheless, the fact that Hashem allowed you to marry her, you can't call that an avera, a sin. True, Hashem is telling you the consequences of you doing this, but you can't say that he's making an avera a sin by marrying her. So what does it mean that avera goreres avera, that one sin brings another sin? Where is the sin? Clearly Rashi says that Hashem allowed you to marry her, because if you don't marry her with permission, you'll marry her without permission. So Hashem tells you the procedure to do that. I understand that is not a lekatchila kind of idea, an optimum idea. But how can you call this an avera, a sin? To answer this question, I'm going to get to the Chasam Sofer in this week's Parsha, where the Chasam Sofer brings an interesting gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Zayin Omed Aleph 107a, where there the Gemara says, Omar Rav Yehuda Marav, Rav Yehuda says the name of Rav, Bikesh David Lavoy Davoy Dezore, that David HaMelech wanted to commit idolatry, and the Gemara brings a verse to this effect. In a previous class, we discussed what's the idea that David HaMelech wanted to commit idolatry, if it was really idolatry, or something tantamount to idolatry, but this class we are not going to get involved in that. But the Gemara continues and says that Hushai Oarki, his friend, came in front of him with torn clothing and earth on his head, and he told them, Yoimru, they will say, Melech Shekamoyscha Yavoit Avoit Zara, a king like you will worship idols, meaning how can you go and worship idols? You are a public figure and you are normally a pious person. They will say, a king like you, such a pious person, will worship idols, that will cause a great desecration of Hashem's name, because people will believe that there is some truth in idol worshipping. David HaMelech answers him, Melech shekemoisi yargenu bnoi, a king like me, meaning a pious king like me, his son should kill him, meaning if people will see that Avshalom, my son, will kill me, people will say that Hashem is not just. So he says, Mutav Yavoid Avoid Azara, it's better that I worship idols like that when my son will kill me, then they will say that he's killing me because I worshipped idols. Valishal Shem Shamay Bifresia, and let Hashem's name not be desecrated openly. Meaning, since everybody knows I'm a pious king, therefore it's better that I should die by the hand of my son for worshipping idols, then everybody will think that I was killed because I did something bad, then die for not doing anything. Therefore, people will say that Hashem is just, that since I worshipped idols, I got killed. But if my son will kill me when I'm a pious king, people will say that Hashem is not a just God because he's killing somebody who is pious and innocent. Therefore, better that I do something wrong and people will blame me than blame Hashem, and Hashem's name should not be desecrated. Omar Hushai told of the Melech, my tamer conceives if astor. Why did you marry a woman of beautiful form? Meaning that Avshalom's mom, Macha, was a daughter of the king Talmai of Geshur, which David HaMelech captured in a battle and married her. Based on the law of this parsha, that when you go to war and you find a woman, you may marry her. Omalei, David HaMelech says, what do you mean? Yefas Tor, Rachmanu Sharia. Hashem allowed a person to marry a captive woman. Omalei, Hushai said to David, don't you know that whenever you have one parsha next to the other, specifically on Dvorim, where Dvorim are Moshe Rabbeinu's word, where he's reciting over, and since Moshe Rabbeinu put them together, then obviously they have a connection. Then clearly in this parsha, where it's written the captive woman, we are also supposed to expound and understand how is this connected to the next parsha that is written. And since it's written right next to it, the idea of a rebellious child, therefore you know that kol hanoisei yefas toar, that anybody who marries a beautiful woman, meaning a captive woman, yeshloi ben soer remoire, is eventually going to get a rebellious child. Meaning that Hushai Oarki was trying to argue with the Melech that you don't have to go worship idols because you're afraid that if you are going to be killed, they will blame Hashem for killing you for no reason, and thereby causing a desecration of Hashem's name. You don't have to worry about that. People won't say that you were not guilty for being killed. People will say that Avshalom is a rebellious child, because since everybody knows that Avshalom's mom was a captive woman, and everybody knows that the Torah puts together the idea of a rebellious child next to the captive woman to tell you that anybody who marries a captive woman is eventually going to have a rebellious child, then everybody will think that the reason that you were killed is because Avshalom was a rebellious child and you did wrong by marrying Avshalom's mom. But nobody will say that this is Hashem's fault, that Hashem is doing something that is not right and thereby desecrating Hashem's name. Therefore, Hushai was saying that for that reason, you don't have to go worship idols, because by you being killed, it is not going to cause a desecration of Hashem's name, since you decided to marry a captive woman, and the Torah tells you that whoever marries a captive woman eventually will have a child that's rebellious, and people will say that the reason that you were killed, even though you were so pious, is because you had a rebellious child. The Chacham Sofer wants to know, how is it possible that David HaMelech did not know the idea of smuchim, the idea of when parshas are together, you're supposed to expound one parsha next to the other, that David HaMelech decided that it is okay for him to marry a captive woman. How is that possible? There's another Gemara regarding Ben Sora Remora, rebellious child, and that's in Gemara in Sanhedrin, of Ayin Aleph, Omed Aleph, 71a, where the Gemara there says that Rabbi Yehuda says, Im lo yoso imo yisho be'loviv, if the mother was not similar to the father, Bekoil in voice, Bemare in appearance, Bekuma in height, Enanasa Ben Sora Remora does not become a rebellious child. And the Gemara explains, because it's written in chapter 21, verse number 20, that the parents have to come in front of the elders and say that this child, Einenu Shemeya Bekoilenu, does not listen to our voices, which implies that the voice of the father and the voice of the mother are the same. And the Bach says that since it's physically impossible for a mother and father to have similar voices, because a man who is high-pitched voice of a female, a woman who has a deep voice of a male, is incapable of having children. Therefore, it's impossible that it should be a Ben Sora Remora. Therefore, he says that according to whom is the opinion that says that a Ben Sora Remora never happened, the Gemara says it is according to Rav Yehuda. Then the question is, if it never happened, why did the Torah record this idea of a rebellious child? The Gemara answers, Drois Yukabel Schar, that we should expound the law and receive reward for expounding the law. We'll try to explain what this means. Then the Gemara says it could also be according to Rav Shimon, because Rav Shimon had a valid argument against killing a rebellious child, because the rule of a rebellious child is that if a child eats too much meat and drinks too much wine, then we are afraid that he is going to eventually steal from people and eventually he is going to commit sins. Therefore, the Torah tells you that you should die innocent and not die guilty. Rav Shimon had an argument against this idea, and he said, just because this person drank too much wine and ate too much meat, therefore you are going to put him to death? How is that possible? Clearly, you don't put to death a person like that. Therefore, Rav Shimon says that the whole idea of Ben Sora Remora, of a rebellious child, is droish v'kabos charis, that should we expound this idea and receive reward. The Gemara continues, the opinion of Rabbi Yonason, which normally it's translated as a dissenting opinion, meaning that Rabbi Yonason argues with the first opinion, and Rabbi Yonason says, Ani reisiv, I actually saw a ben soire remoire, the yoshavti al kivroi, and I sat on his grave. Just a side note, there is a question who this was, because according to tradition, Rabbi Yonason was a Kohen, and if Rabbi Yonason was a Kohen, clearly he cannot sit on the grave, because a Kohen is not allowed to contaminate himself to a dead body, that's Tumas Oyel. Therefore, there are some who say that this was Rabbi Yochanan and not Rabbi Yonason, where Rabbi Yochanan was not a Kohen. But then we have the question of Rabbi Kiveger in Gilin Hashas, where Rabbi Kiveger notes that the Yoredeya in Siman 364, Sif 2, writes down that a person is not allowed to sit on a grave. Then even if it was Rabbi Yochanan, the question is how he sat on a grave. So the Pischa Tshuva answers that when it's written Al Kivroi, does not necessarily mean on the grave, it means Al on the side. As many times the word Al means next to, So too al kivri means next to the site. But other Meforshim write down that he actually sat on the grave, because in the old days they had a custom that they would bury first a person, and after a certain time they would remove the bones from the person and bury him somewhere else. Once they removed the bones of that person, then theoretically you could sit on that grave because it's not disrespectful anymore. Therefore, it could be that he sat on the grave which was there original, but not on the grave that it is now. But the main question that Meforshim ask is that once we have Rabbi Yochanan or Rabbi Yonason that says that he actually saw a Ben Soira Rimoira and he actually sat on his grave, how is it possible that other Tanoim would argue and say that such a thing did not happen? Clearly, if he says that he saw it and he sat on his grave, we believe him. He's not saying a lie. Then how can people argue on his testimony that there actually was such a thing as Ben Soira Rimoira as a rebellious child? The Chasam Sofer explains, based on Rabbeinu Bachya, that Rabbeinu Bachya says that when Rabbi Yonason said, "I saw him and I sat on his grave," it is not meant literally that he saw a Ben Soira Rimoira, a rebellious child, being killed and he sat on his grave. What he's referring is to the grave of Avshalom, the son of David, and the Chasam Sofer explains that it's meant this way, that had we killed the Ben Soira Rimoira, the rebellious child, before he did something terrible, everybody would have complained, how is it possible that we kill an innocent man? And besides, if he would have let him grow up, maybe he would have repented on his ways and he would have acted properly. Therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, that Hashem specifically wrote the mitzvah of Ben Soira Rimoira because Hashem knows what is going to happen to this child eventually. But nonetheless, even though he knows what is going to happen to this child, Hashem still put these impossible conditions that it will be impossible for you to kill this child. The Chasam Sofer cites an example that the father and mother have to both be willing to give him over to be killed. And clearly, if the mother was a captive woman, which she follows the rules of the notions of the world, clearly she will not want. Therefore, since they won't bring him to court, automatically this child won't be killed. But like that, everybody will see what happens when you have such a child. And in the case of Avshalom, all of them will agree that it would have been better had he died when he didn't have any sins. As a matter of fact, the Chasam Sofer says that we find that David HaMelech had one child, the child that died right after the story of Bathsheba. And David HaMelech afterwards did not cry because he knew that the child was innocent, and he knew that when the child died, he atoned for the sin of David and Bathsheba, and he will merit the world to come. But when Avshalom died in his evilness, David HaMelech cried a lot in order to bring him up from the seventh level of Gehenna. And according to this idea of the Rabbeinu Bachya, we understand now what Rabbi Yonason means to say, because Rabbi Yonason means to say that I saw him, meaning I actually saw the case of a Ben Soira Rimoira that we didn't kill, v'ani yoshavti kivroi, and I sat on his grave, meaning I saw the grave of Avshalom, and I saw that he was really a Ben Soira Rimoira and he wasn't killed. So I see that really there is such a case as a Ben Soira Rimoira, and that case is Avshalom. Don't think it's just a concept. It is not just a concept. It is actually a fact that Avshalom was around, and Avshalom was a Ben Soira Rimoira. Therefore, Rabbi Yonason says that I saw him, I saw Avshalom, and I sat on his grave, meaning that I saw his grave also, and he is the clear proof that there is such a thing as Ben Soira Rimoira. Therefore, according to this, Rabbi Yonason is not coming to argue with the Tanna Kamma. He's coming to explain what the rabbi said previously. The rabbi said that there wasn't such a case that we killed a Ben Soira Rimoira. The only reason that we have the Lach of Ben Soira Rimoira is Droish, that we should learn from it the Kabel Scharin, we should get rewarded. And normally we think that we should just learn and get reward from learning Torah and learn from idea that it could be a concept of Mesoyer Moira. Therefore, Rabbi Yonason says that learn clearly how to behave, that we should not let it happen to be like a Mesoyer Moira, because I saw somebody like that, and it actually happened, and that was Avshalom, and eventually he got killed, and he would have been better off had he been killed when he was young. Therefore, it says, Droish, you should expound it, the Kabbal Schar, and then you get reward that you're not going to let a Mesoyer Moira happen. But it does not mean that it's impossible for a Mesoyer Moira to happen, because there is such a thing. Avshalom was a Mesoyer Moira, rebellious child, and there is such a fact. So it's not just hypothetically that you should darshan and get reward for it. Actually, there is a person that could become a real rebellious child, a real act terrible. Therefore, Droish, make sure you learn it well, then you'll get reward that you make sure that there isn't such a Mesoyer Moira anymore. The Chasam Sofer goes on to explain why, in fact, did David HaMelech marry a captive woman. Clearly, he saw that after the captive woman is written, the idea of Mesoyer Moira, of a rebellious child, and therefore, he probably knew that if you marry a captive woman, eventually, you are going to get a rebellious child. Therefore, the Chasam Sofer explains, based on the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuftes Amad Beis 109b. There the Gemara says that Yalsa, the wife of Rav Nachman, asked Rav Nachman, her husband, and said that we find that everything that the Torah prohibited, the Torah finds something corresponding that's permitted. And she starts giving certain examples, and she says that Hashem prohibited us from eating blood, but nonetheless Hashem permitted us from eating liver, which tastes like blood. Hashem prohibited us from having relations with a woman when she has the dam nida, the blood of menstruation, and yet Hashem permitted us to have relations with a woman when she has dam tor, when she has clean blood. Clean blood, dam tor, is described biblically in the Torah as the blood that comes out from the woman after she gives birth for a boy from the 7th to the 40th day, and for a girl from the 14th till the 80th day. For those times, even though she sees blood, she could still have relations biblically with her husband. Nowadays, this does not take effect. Therefore, he also says that even though Hashem forbade us the blood of Anida, nonetheless, Hashem permitted us the blood after birth. So we see that everything that Hashem forbade, Hashem made a corresponding place where it's permitted. That Hashem forbade us from eating fats from a domesticated animal, from a behemoth, and Hashem permitted us to eat fats, chalef, from an undomesticated animal, from a chaya. Hashem forbade us for eating pig. Nonetheless, Hashem correspondingly permitted us to eat the brain of this fish called shivuta, which tastes like pig. Hashem prohibited us from eating this bird called giura. Nonetheless, Hashem permitted us to eat fish tongue, which tastes like this bird. Hashem prohibited us from having relations with a married woman. Nonetheless, Hashem permitted us from having relations with a divorcee, even though her husband is still alive. Hashem forbade us from having relations with your brother's wife. Nonetheless, Hashem permitted us from having relations with that brother's wife, if that brother dies without children. And then she says, Hashem forbade us from having relations with a non-Jewish woman, and Hashem permitted us from having relations with a non-Jewish woman when she is a captive, when she is a Yefas Tovah. Then she continues and says that I want to taste milk and meat together. What is corresponding that I could eat in order to taste meat and milk together? So the Gemara says that Rav Nachman told his staff to take the udder of a cow and roast it, and then feed her, because since the udder is a depository of the milk, it'll taste like milk and meat together. But nonetheless, we see from here that Yalsa says that even though Hashem forbade us from having relations with a non-Jewish woman, nonetheless Hashem permitted us from having relations with a captive woman. So we see clearly that it is permitted. So what is going on? Therefore, the Chasam Sofer explains that from the story of Yalsa, you could see really why Hashem permitted a person to have relations with a captive woman. Because Yalsa wanted to have a taste of the bad thing. She was always battling her evil inclination. Therefore, she had to have a corresponding thing that's permitted for something that is prohibited. Because she couldn't just accept that something you can't have, that you won't taste something. Therefore, she needed to have a corresponding thing that's permitted in order to know that she is not losing anything. Because only because Hashem wants a person to be able to overcome his evil inclination and know that he is not missing anything, therefore Hashem gave the corresponding thing that's permitted. Therefore, also here, when Rashi says, Lo dibra Torah elo keneged yetzer hara, that Hashem only allowed you to marry a captive woman because of your evil inclination, the Torah means to say that the only reason that Hashem allowed this person to have relations with a captive woman, even though she's not Jewish, is because this person wants to have relations with a non-Jewish woman, therefore Hashem permitted him for having relations with a captive woman, because this person cannot control his Yetzer Hara, and Hashem allowed, in this case, for him to follow the proper procedures, and then he'll be able to have relations with a non-Jewish woman when she is a captive woman. And the Chasam Sofer says that, in fact, if a person is of that category, that he can battle his evil inclination, what is written in the Parsha won't affect him. Because since in this case Hashem allows him to have relations with a non-Jewish woman because she is a captive woman, the consequences that's written in the Parsha that she is going to have a ben sor remoy rebellious child won't come true. Because since he is doing it only to fight his evil inclination and Hashem allowed him, therefore Hashem won't punish him by giving. But the Chasam Sofer says that a person who is able to control his evil inclination, a person who is able to fight against his Yetzer Hara, then this person doesn't have the right to marry a captive woman. And if this person who could stand against the evil inclination marries the captive woman, then the consequences of having a ben sor remoyah, having a rebellious child, will happen to him. And the Chasam Sofer explains that this is the argument between David HaMelech and Hushi Yoarki, that David HaMelech thought that he is a sinner, David HaMelech thought that he doesn't have the strength to stand against the evil inclination, therefore David HaMelech believed that it is permitted for him to marry a captive woman, and since it's permitted for him to marry a captive woman, no harm will come to him if he does what the Torah tells you, and he thought that even though it's written later on, the Parsha of the rebellious child, that Parsha did not talk to him, because he is permitted to marry a captive woman since he can't battle his evil inclination. But Hushi Yoarki explains that Melech Shekemoyscho, a king like you, where you yourself said in Tehillim, chapter 109, verse 22, V'libi chalol bekirbi, that my heart is empty inside me, meaning that you are empty from your evil inclination and you are able to combat your evil inclination, then clearly you had no permission to marry a captive woman. Since you married a captive woman, you should know what is going to happen to you, that you are going to get a rebellious child. So comes out that David HaMelech only married a captive woman because he was humble and because of that he had a rebellious child. And according to this, the Chasam Sofer tries to answer a question that he has on the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Alev Amad Alev 11a, where there the Gemara says that every time he says who, it means from beginning to the end. Like it says, who Achashverosh, he is Achashverosh. The Gemara says, who Barishoy, Mitchilosoy Vatsoifoy, that he was evil from the beginning until the end. And the Gemara gives more examples. The Gemara says that by Esav, it says in Bereshis chapter 36, verse number 43, who Esav, this is Esav. So the Gemara says, who Barishoy Mitchilosoy Vatsoifoy, that he was evil from beginning to the end. The same thing it says in Bamidbar chapter 26, verse number 9, in regards to Dasam Vaviram, it says who Dasam Vaviram, that this is Dasam Vaviram. The Gemara says that they were evil from beginning until the end. So too the Gemara says in regards to the king Ahaz, where there in Divrei Yamim 2, chapter 28, verse number 22 says, Hu Amelech Ahaz, that this is the king Ahaz. So the Gemara says the same thing, that he was evil from beginning until the end. Then the Gemara says the opposite in regards to the Tzadikim, in regards to Avram Avinu. It's written in Divrei Yamim 1, chapter 26, it's written, Avram, Hu Avram, that Avram is Avram. So the Gemara says, Hu betzitkoi mitchilosoi vatsoifer, that he was righteous from beginning to the end. So too it's written in Shemos chapter 6, verse number 27, Hu Aharon veMoshe, that this is Aharon and Moshe. The Gemara says that Huhem betzitkom, that they were righteous from beginning until the end. Now the Gemara comes to David HaMelech, and in regards to David HaMelech, it doesn't say who David, this is David. It says in Shmuel 1, chapter 17, verse number 14, the David who akoton, David is the youngest. The Gemara says that who bekatnusoi mitchilosei vatsoifoi, that David HaMelech was humble from beginning until the end. And the Gemara says, the same way that when he was young, he made himself humble in front of somebody who was greater from him in Torah, so too, when he was a king, he made himself humble to somebody who has more wisdom than him. And the Chasam Sofer asks, why in regards to David HaMelech, they changed the formula and they don't say that David HaMelech is righteous from beginning until the end? Why isn't it written who David? Why in regards to David HaMelech it is written who Akotin, that he is the youngest, that he is the most humble? Why they praise him in his humility? Therefore, the Chasam Sofer says, according to what he just mentioned, it fits very well. Because since we know that in fact David HaMelech did something wrong, he did have relations with the Yefas Toar, with the captive woman, where a king in his level and his control of the evil inclination shouldn't have relations with a captive woman. Therefore, we can't say that he's righteous from beginning until the end, because in fact he did something wrong. But what we could say is that he really didn't mean to sin, because who are cotton? Because since David HaMelech was humble from beginning until the end, that means that David HaMelech was humble and he thought that he cannot fight the evil inclination, and since he cannot fight the evil inclination, technically he could marry the captive woman, and therefore he had the rebellious child. But the only reason that he married the captive woman was because of his humility. Therefore, when you want to praise David HaMelech, you have to praise him in his humility, because that is what caused him eventually to do the mistake and marry the captive woman, which eventually caused him to have Avshalom, to have this rebellious child. According to this, Chasam Sofer, Sefer Shemeroish wants to answer the question that the Gemara asks in Brachas, Dav Zayin Amud Beis 7b. There the Gemara brings the verse in Tehillim, chapter 3, verse number 1, where it says, Mizmor LeDavid, a song to David, Bevarchu Mipnei Avshalom Bonoi, when he's running away from Avshalom, his son. The Gemara asks, Mizmor LeDavid, a song to David, Kine LeDavid, a cry to David, mi boyele, because his son is chasing him. It's not a song, it's a cry. But according to what we just mentioned, Sefer Shemeroish explains that this is really a song to David, meaning that David HaMelech thought that he's a sinner, and if he's a sinner, then he could technically marry a captive woman. And if he could marry a captive woman, then according to the Chasam Sofer, he would not get a Ben Soire Rimoira, rebellious child, because somebody who can't control his evil inclination doesn't get punished with a rebellious child. He's allowed to marry the captive woman without any repercussions. But since David HaMelech was a lofty person and he could control his evil inclination, then technically David HaMelech could not marry the captive woman. And once he married the captive woman, he ended up having Avshalom, the rebellious child. So comes out, according to this, that once David HaMelech saw that a rebellious child came out of him, then David HaMelech knew that he did something wrong by marrying a captive woman, because he could control his Yetzer Hara. Therefore, David HaMelech gave a song in praise, meaning that because Avshalom is chasing him, that proves that David HaMelech did the wrong thing by marrying the captive woman, which proves that he is righteous enough to control his evil inclination. Therefore, Mizmer LeDavid, David HaMelech sang a song for the fact that he saw that he has a rebellious child. That means that he was on a lofty level, and for that lofty level, he sang a song to Hashem. Before we finish Shishir, I wanted to bring the interesting Torah Moshe, where the Torah Moshe gives a completely different spin on the idea of Lo Dibra Torah Elo Keneged Yetzer Hara, that the Torah only told that you could marry this woman because of the evil inclination. And he explains, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Beis Omed Alef 82a, where there the Gemara brings the verse in Malachi chapter 2, verse number 11. I'm not going to go through the whole analysis of the Gemara, and just to the part that's important to us. There the verse says, Bog the Yehuda, Yehuda dealt treacherously, Vesuevo Nasa B'Yisrael B'Yerushalayim, an abomination was done in Israel and Jerusalem. Ki chilal Yehuda kodesh Hashem, for Yehuda has profaned the holiness of Hashem. And the verse says, Uval bas el nechar, and he had relations with a Gentile woman. And in Malachi 2, chapter 12, says the consequences, Yachriz Hashem lo ish asher yaseno, Hashem will cut off the man who does this. Eir ve'oina mehole Yaakov, and one initiates, and one that answers from the tent of Yaakov, umagish minchol Hashem tzevois, and one who offers an offering to Hashem of hosts. The Gemara explains that the verse means to say the following, that im talmid chachami, if the person is a wise scholar, meaning a Talmudic scholar, and he has relations with a non-Jewish woman, then lo yeh lo er b'chachomim, he'll not have a son who initiates learning discussion amongst the sages. He won't have even anybody who qualifies to answer the questions of his disciples, meaning that the person won't marry to have a Torah scholar as a son. Im koyenu, and if the person who has relations, if the Gentile woman is a koyen, then he won't have a son that will bring the mincha for Hashem. And the Miri explains that if he is neither a Talmudic scholar nor a koyen, then he'll get chorus, that his children will be cut off. But nonetheless, we see from here that when somebody has relations with a non-Jewish woman, his children get cursed that they either are not going to be Torah scholars or they're not going to be Kohanim. And it's important to note that it doesn't say that the children that comes out of that relations will have this curse. It says that his children will have this curse. Therefore, the Torah Moshe explains that this person has his evil inclination to have relations with a non-Jewish woman. But if he has relations with a non-Jewish woman, his children will suffer. And what is going to happen if he has other wives, if he has other righteous women, why they constantly praying to have good children, then why are they at fault that their children should suffer? Therefore, the Torah tells you that he is allowed to marry this Gentile woman by following the procedure of a captive woman. And this Gentile woman is going to have children, and all the curses that's written in that verse will befall that children, the children of this Gentile woman, thereby saving the righteous woman from being punished, because they didn't do anything wrong. They were totally righteous. So the Torah Moshe explains that Lo Dibra Torah Elo Keneged Yetzer Hara, that the Torah allowed this person to marry this Gentile woman because this person has a Yetzer Hara, and this person already is going to have relations with a Gentile woman. And if he has relations with a Gentile woman, then the children of the righteous Jewish women that he has are going to suffer because of the curse that's written in Malachi. Therefore, the Torah tells you, marry this Gentile woman. This Gentile woman is going to have children, and all the curses will befall the children of this Gentile woman, that he's going to become a Ben Sora Remoira, a rebellious child, and therefore he won't be a Torah scholar, and he won't be somebody who will bring a mincha to Hashem. So according to the Torah Moshe, the whole idea that he could marry this Gentile woman is in order to spare the righteous Jewish women children, because they are not at fault that this husband cannot control his evil inclination. Therefore, the Torah made the whole law of a captive woman. I will conclude by saying this famous word that many Rabbonim say, that we see that when the Torah believes that you cannot combat your Yetzer Hara, the Torah gives you an out. That means that the rest of the Torah, where the Torah does not give you an out, the Torah is sure that you are able to combat your Yetzer Hara. So Hashem Yisburg should help that we should learn from this idea of captive woman that we are required to perform the rest of the Torah, because if Hashem would know that we cannot keep the rest of the mitzvahs, then Hashem would have given us an out as he gave by the idea of the captive woman. And since Hashem does not give us an out, then obviously you are able to perform the mitzvahs. And if we perform the mitzvahs, then we'll merit to have Mashiach come, the Beis HaMikdash rebuilt, b'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.